The News Round on Off The Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
Hello there, you're welcome along. So it is a Tuesday evening. Bank holiday Monday has shortened this week right down for us. Champions League evening has had Liverpool and Man City both in action. We'll have John Bruin on the football show after 9 o'clock. We will have Irish international Amber Barrett as well with us. She's based in Cologne, but she was part of that very disappointing Friday evening in Kiev. Rory O'Connor and Keith Wood will make up for no Monday night rugby last night. And the hurling championship started over the weekend. It is going to pick up serious pace this weekend coming. We have semi-finals in Leinster and Munster. Shane McGrath will join us this hour to give us his thoughts. 53106, the text number. We're at Off The Ball on Twitter. Richie McCormack, hello.
Joe Malloy, how are you?
I'm very well. Adrian Barry, good evening.
Evening, chaps.
Tell you what, folks, before we get into the weekend that was, and there was plenty going on, there is excitement around the Barry household, let me tell you, listeners. Huge excitement. Because
really?
We are into the 17th year of Movember.
Oh, yeah.
Movember is all about men's health, cancers like prostate and testicular, men's mental health, etc. It's a great cause. Started in Australia, it's now pretty much taken over the year. A reminder as well that our Newsround sponsors, Gillette, will have special Movember packs in store in Tesco. A donation will be made to charity for every purchase made, and you can head over to movember.com/Gillette for more ways to get involved. So some off-the-ball people are stepping up. Nathan Murphy, who I suspect could grow an astonishingly good moustache, has put up the hand. Ger Gilroy is going to follow suit. The one I'm interested in, though, I have to say, Adrian Barry, I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with.
When you said there was excitement in the Barry household, I thought, Joe, that you were referring to the fact that we lost our wheelie bin today, which was big news around here. We still can't find it, so anybody has seen a black wheelie been doing the rounds in South Dublin?
Should be pretty easy to pick out. Yeah.
You know, so, we're live on the radio here, don't you?
No, I appreciate that, Jack. Just having a cup of tea here and just having a bit of a chat as well.
When you say lost, that means stolen.
I don't know. We left it out for collection. The green bin came back, but the black bin, no sign.
Adrian, it's 4 days to Halloween. I can tell that's you exactly gone. What's yeah. happening to your wheelie.
Do you reckon?
Ah, listen, nothing
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Will you stop?
That is a collection receptacle
it?
There.
It's a mini bonfire for some kids.
Right.
Or they're using it just to store wood and collect wood.
Or maybe, that's very disappointing.
Maybe they are using it just to transport wood to the bonfire. They may bring your wheelie bin back. But again, I'd have my doubts.
The last laugh is going to be on them because that bin is regularly stuffed full of fairly smelly nappies. So enjoy it, lads. You get stuck in there.
Be flammable. Be flammable.
Oh, it's not pretty, Joe. It's not pretty. Am I looking forward to it? I haven't had a proper shave in, like, I didn't even shave for my wedding day in 2015. I can't remember. It could be 10 years more since I've had, like, the proper, got my stuff in the post today, so I'm sort of good to go. But
oh, yeah.
The Gillette Fusion 5 Pro Glides, Joe. Great shave, I understand. And a range of other stuff there that has me ready to go.
So what's the deal? You do proper wet shave all over, and then it's what happens from there? Do you shave pretty much every day, and except for the mustache part?
I think after that I think the only stipulation is that you shave on the day before, on the day of it, so that you're starting from scratch. Yeah. I think after that you do what the hell you please. Like, I don't know what's going
to
happen.
But you can't just grow a beard; it has to be a tash.
Well, I think you could grow it all out and then at a certain point say, right, now I'm going to actually...
That's cheating.
It's important you look hideous for as long as possible. You need to look
awful.
The
point of it is you grow a tash, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to look like a 70s footballer as pretty quickly as you can.
No, I was going to say, I'd give you 4 or 5 days growth grace, but then you need to be shaving on a regular basis.
I just don't know what's going to happen. Like, obviously it's ginger beard. I have a bit of grey going on here. Is it going to get more grey the more this grows out? I'm not prolific with the facial hair anyway. So, like, if by the end of November I might have something there that represents even something like that Richie has gone on there, I'd probably be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
You're not. When you think about Movember, you think about the Movember symbol, and you know the one with the twisty ends on it, where you can do the old Inspector Clouseau stuff. I'm into that. Like, if I could do that, that'd be. I'd nearly keep going into December if I thought I could do that.
I think maybe November 2024, you might be at that stage.
No, I'm with you. There's no. I'm not gonna. You're not gonna get any fight from me on that front. But yeah. Now listen, it's for some great causes, and we're hoping over the course of the month as well that we can. You mentioned touched on some of the topics there, particularly this time of the year. I think, Joe, some of those are pretty appropriate conversations to be having around men's mental health, particularly, and I think particularly again, obviously, given everything that's gone on with the pandemic and, you know, people's mental health, and you just find more and more that more men are willing to have those conversations. So it's very much the plan for us over the course of the month to make idiots out of ourselves, clearly in the first instance, but also, to have some conversations around that stuff. And by the way, I noticed, by the way, you mentioned a bunch of names of people who did put their hand up and then a range of others, Joe, who did not, of course. But listen, the less said about that, the better. There are also other ways you can get involved, Joe and Richie. You can run or walk 60 kilometers over the month and a range of other stuff as well. If you head along to movember.com/Gillette, it's not just about growing them all.
Okay. Well, listen, best of luck with it. It is a great cause. Fair play to you. So the weekend that was, what caught your eye? There was lots on offer from the sporting world. Adrian, I'll start with you.
Yeah, geez. One of the big things that caught my eye, Joe, was that you were interviewing yourself on the telly on Saturday.
Well, as someone pointed out to me, a more chiseled version of myself, I would think is fair.
A more
handsome, chiseled version of myself.
You couldn't tell from the
workshopped version of you, yeah.
It literally just looked like, I honestly, and I mean this, thought Richard Cooper was going to jump out at some point. And I actually thought to myself, am I the only one thinking this? This is insane. Like, what's going on here? And then I saw a bunch of people tweeting about it. But it was gas, and it kept us going in the middle of a game that was a bit,
It's pointless game.
It was, and we got a bit excited about it. The biggest thing for me over the weekend was, and I was only thinking about it before we came on air, that Tyrone team are bloody exciting, aren't they? And what I'd love to see is, this is a ridiculous hypothetical, that Tyrone team with two more years under their belt, Darragh Canavan with a couple of years maturity, Conor McKenna, who's the talk of the town today, with a couple of years in GA under his belt again, against the 2019 Dubs. That'd be a game for me. I'm not sure about it. The more I think about the Dubs, the more I'm writing them off in my own head. But yeah, the excitement about that Tyrone team as a prospect to actually challenge. Now, they were only playing Mayo, Joe, so maybe let's not get too carried away. Mm.
I didn't see enough of Conor McKenna. I've seen the highlight reel, and that is pretty impressive. Not least that Kieran McDonald-esque pass at the weekend. I suspect even Kieran McDonald on the sideline was thinking, yes, I approve. But I haven't seen his general play. Obviously, he's taken to this like a duck to water.
The skill level was the thing, isn't it? Because there are plenty of high-profile examples, Tommy Walsh included down in Kerry. I don't mean to single him out, but he was certainly one of them who came back and they struggled afterwards with the change of code and the change of ball. But bloody hell, he looks exceptional. And there was that, and then the Mayo getting dropped 23 years in the top division, dropped down to Division 2. Yeah. And I know that Tomás was making the case in the Sunday game last night that it's James Horman rallied the troops. And I'm not sure I buy it, to be honest. I think that it's an awful, Division 2 is an awful ground from where to be building. I know it doesn't kick in probably until next year, but Armagh 2002 was the last Division 2 team to go on and win the All-Ireland. And even at that, they won Division 2 that year. Like, Westmeath were nearly promoted from Division 2, and I love them and whatever all the rest of it, but they're not within an arse's roar of a conversation about winning the All-Ireland. It's not, it's a big backward step, I think.
Rich, the weekend that was?
Does Friday count? Like, because I'm still trying to get over that game in Kiev where Ireland were, I'm going to say pretty safe to say done out of that game away to Ukraine, because when you consider that they hit the bar twice within the space of, 20-odd minutes, and the defender, Schmacko, who should have seen red for the penalty decision, didn't, was left on the field, and Ireland went on to lose that game. And it was one of those games where setting aside all degrees of partiality and setting aside all, you know, senses of national pride, etc., there's no way that anybody could watch that and think anything else than Ireland deserved to win the game. And if they had won the game, God, it would have made the complexion of that group, Group I, the women's qualifying, completely different. Because you look what happened today in Greece with Ukraine, with Schmacko and all in the side, winning 4-0 and are now within a point of Ireland, Vera Powell's side, heading into those December 1st qualifiers. And were playing Germany in the last game of the group, which is like just the most impossible task in the world. Because Ruth Faye mentioned it on Friday's show, talking to Jerry, she was saying that, you know, they're the second ranked team in the world, but to all intents and purposes, they're the best team in the world because there's nobody at the moment can touch them. They haven't conceded a goal in the six games that they played so far in their group. Yeah. And it's just frightening to think of what may happen, worst case scenario, on December 1st in Tala. But if anything, Vera Pauls showed that she can put out a side to stand up against them, particularly in the second half in Essen a few weeks ago. So fingers crossed that there might at least be a scoreless draw, which might be the best scoreless draw in Irish history. And who knows then what might happen between Montenegro and Greece, or Montenegro and Ukraine. But yeah, it struck me as a robbery. Should have been playing against 10 men, or 10 women, pardon me, for the majority of that game, for 30 or for 60 odd minutes. So to come away from that game with nothing is hard to take still.
Yeah, and obviously the goal was a disaster, and then Katie McCabe is not in the habit of missing penalties. So it had one of those nights feel about it from about midway through, I thought. Amber Barrett's going to join us, by the way, on the football show. She only got 4 minutes. She came off the bench, maybe could have done with a bit more time. She's in decent form for Cologne at the moment, so we'll chat to her around 9:30 or so. It's where your news round starts, Richie, and our news round is with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette made of what matters. The fallout from Friday meant that Ireland were relying on Ukraine to slip up. Well, part one of two done.
Yeah, and the Republic of Ireland now has mentioned they need to get a result from their final group game if they're secure at least a European Championship playoff. Ukraine's 4-0 victory away to Greece this afternoon moves them to within a point of Vera Pauls' side. Ireland face the Germany side in December, who are yet to concede a goal in Group I, while Ukraine will be at home to Montenegro. On to tonight's action. Manchester City are away to Marseille this evening in Group C of the Champions League. City are without the injured strikers Sergio Aguero and Gabriel Jesus. City line out with Ederson in goal for them tonight. A back four then of Kyle Walker, Ruben Dias, Aymeric Laporte and Alexander Zinchenko. In midfield, it's Ilkay Gundogan, Rodri and Ferran Torres with Kevin De Bruyne and Phil Foden in support of their false nine, I guess you'd say, Raheem Sterling. And City boss Pep Guardiola was asked in the lead up to tonight's game if they considered buying a new striker in the summer, but he felt they were well stocked at the time.
You know, when you decide to buy in a striker, we have to be a striker in the level from Gabriel and Sergio, and you cannot afford it. So I'm not saying that the club, they don't want to do it, not just in terms of strikers in every position, but they wanted to make a strong team as possible to make, you know, our games and better. But, you know, we thought, okay, Sergio's come back. We didn't expect Gabriel is injured. Sometimes it happened.
Liverpool at home tonight, Rich?
Yeah, an 8 p.m. start we should mention as well at the Stade Velodrome, as there is at the Dragao in that group where Porto entertain Olympiacos. But as you mentioned there, Liverpool entertaining the Group D Minnows and Michelin tonight, and that reflected somewhat in the Liverpool starting 11. As normal at the back five, with Alisson in goal, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Fabinho, Joe Gomez and Andy Robertson in their defence. In midfield, it's Jordan Henderson alongside James Milner, with Jerdan Shaqiri, Takumi Minamino and Diogo Jota in front of them. And Divock Origi leads the line in a game where Liverpool could score their 10,000th career goal. There's an 8 p.m. start at Anfield and at the recently renovated Giswiss Stadium, where Atalanta take on Ajax. Elsewhere, there's a 5:55 start in Group A, where it's currently Lokomotiv Moscow 0, Bayern Munich 1, Leon Goretzka with that goal. At 8, Atletico Madrid take on Salzburg. In Group B, Shakhtar Donetsk and Inter remain scoreless in the early kickoff, and there's an 8 p.m. start at Borussia Park, where Borussia Mönchengladbach face Real Madrid. 7 sides go into this evening's final round of SSE or Tristy First Division fixtures with hopes of promotion. Drogheda will go up automatically as champions if they win away to Cavan Teely. Bray will hope for a drug slip as they make the trip to Athlone. UCD will secure a playoff spot with a point at home to Galway, who themselves are hoping to eke into the playoffs. Cover at home to Shamrock Rovers 2, and Bottomside Wexford entertain Longford. Tomorrow night's rearranged meeting, we should mention as well, Shamrock Rovers and Derry City is off. One Derry player and a backroom team member tested positive for COVID-19 yesterday. Rovers were crowned champions at the weekend when Bohemians lost to Finn Harps.
Lads, El Clasico was once the highlight of my weekend. Do you mind, Richie?
I do.
There's a whole room to cough into.
At least I'm not there, Joe. You'd be scared then.
Well, this is true. Stay where you are. So, what is it? Tom says, El Clasico once upon a time would have been the highlight of my weekend. Barely registers these days. Am I alone? I don't think you are. I think that's true of many of us. Adrian, was El Clasico at the forefront of your thoughts this weekend?
No, I would have to say it's not. Yeah, like, it hasn't disappeared off the planet. Like, we discussed the Formula One a couple of weeks ago. It's not got that level, but like you had Ronaldo and Messi in their prime. That maybe that not being there is a factor, I don't know. But no, it's fair point, yeah.
Lads, Roscommon promoted to Division One. Leeds, Trent's, the Villa. It was a perfect weekend, says Brian Roscommon. Good man, Brian. You should look at Padraig Harrington's moustache from November a few years ago, says Bernard. I'd imagine that was quite impressive. And, oh, there we have a shot of it. Oh, yeah, he's gone for the handlebar. He's gone
Very
for the
man.
Handlebar.
Looks like Chopper.
Yeah, that's full commitment. Adrian, give some consideration to the handlebar, I think, is the message there.
And it's a mess. That's a mess. That's a mess, Lance. I'm sorry.
It was really nice of you, Joe, to allow your younger brother, who was also better looking, join the panel at the weekend for the rugby. Clark Kent, eat your heart out. Both my brothers are indeed younger and better looking. I'm surrounded by them. So this is my lot in life.
God, they're handsome men, Joe. I mean, I've met both of them and that's a high bar that you've set right there.
Taller, younger, handsome, better hair. That's the general gist of it. Lads, all the conversation around the hurling was that there were too many scores. Then the chat around United-Chelsea was that there wasn't enough. The moral is that you simply can't please sports fans, says John in Cork. Or indeed people, John, maybe people. Yeah, we'll put this to Shane McGrath around 7:30. Limerick, 36 points. Clare, 123. And then I think 254 was scored at Croke Park on Saturday. So we're kind of breaking 60 points a game now. And there is a sense maybe that the slither is too light or we're just seeing too many scores. I know the lads touched on it this morning as well. Does anyone feel it's gone too far, Richie, Adrian, that hurling is now just halfback at the ball, pop it over the bar way too often?
It has become easier to score, both with the Schlitter weights and I guess with the accuracy and the proficiency of the players themselves. I think the realm that hurling doesn't want to go down is where you're heading into almost basketball scorelines, where it almost becomes irrelevant what the scoreline was. It's kind of the margin of victory was going to be the main thing, or and how far in front of the other side you were. And once you had that kind of route, you're in kind of dangerous territory. But I think if goals are easy to score by, if you had 15. Shamie Callanan's aside, I think that's when we'd be kind of worrying about scorelines getting out of control. I think for the minute, we might be just in the middle of a blip and the sample size isn't all that great to be deeming whether or not we've crossed the precipice.
Yeah, I think the sample size is the thing, isn't it? Let's wait and see. It's been interesting because
it's definitely
that's not
been,
supposed to be the case.
It's definitely been rising the last couple of years.
Yeah, it feels that way, doesn't it? But yeah. I mean, statistically, I'd be interested. But getting into the depths of winter, we were supposed to, you're led to believe that the ground is soggy, Joe, the wet sod and, bogged down hurling, 2 points and nearly win a game. I don't know. I would definitely, if it continued like this, I think they'd have to do something about it, but wait and see.
Okay, well, we'll talk to Shane McGrath and see what he thinks in about 10, 15 minutes time or so. Richie, where are we going next?
World 100 metre world champion Christian Coleman won't be allowed to compete at next year's Olympic Games. The American sprinter has been banned for 2 years from missing 3 drug tests during the span of 2019. The Athletics Integrity Unit described his actions today as both careless and reckless. Coleman will only be free to run again in May of 2022, but he is free to appeal his case to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. France winger Teddy Thomas has been ruled out of Saturday's Six Nations showdown with Ireland. The Racing 92 man has suffered a hamstring injury and his place in the squad goes instead to Bordeaux's Mathieu Jalibert. Meanwhile, Bernard Leroux has been cleared to play on Saturday after being cleared of striking Wales captain Alwyn Jones at the weekend. Ireland have no new injury concerns ahead of the trip to Paris, thankfully, and go to the French capital top of the Six Nations table. And captain Jonathan Sexton likes that their fate is in their own hands.
All we can control at the moment is our performance. So what we're trying to, I suppose, emphasise to everyone in the squad is that we need to get our performance right no matter what. If it's just a win, if it's a bonus point win, we're still going to have to play well no matter what. So let's just focus on that aspect and, hopefully we know that if we can perform well that we'll give ourselves chances and then it's up to us to try and take those chances on the day and be clinical. It's great to be back in that situation now where we've got a trophy on the line. We know that it's in our own hands in many ways. No matter what happens in the games before it, we'll still be going onto the pitch, being able to win the trophy, which is it's what you play for. It's you play, you train hard for these big days, and we're looking forward to it now. And like I said, we're just trying to concentrate on our performance and make sure if we can get that right, it gives us a chance.
Adrian, bonus point win in Paris has never happened before. This is a French team with Sean Edwards sorting out their defence. They should really be going for a Grand Slam. They messed up badly against Scotland back in the springtime. They have DuPont and Intermac at 9 and 10, settled 9 and 10 for the first time in a long time, and then just scary talent all around them. So regardless of the championship, even if Ireland were to go and win in Paris and finish runners-up, that would be an excellent first season for Andy Farrell post-World Cup.
It would be, and a win is doable. Bonus point win, I didn't realise it had never been done before. Is that what you said?
I don't think we've even scored four tries in Paris, have we?
Wow.
The year O'Driscoll scored a hat-trick. Did anyone else score when O'Driscoll scored the hat-trick?
That's a good question.
Rich, in the era of the bonus point, we haven't.
Yeah, as far as I know, we haven't yet.
Maybe that's what
I read. But before that, it's kind of irrelevant. But yeah. We can check up whether we've scored four or not then.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, you look at that Ireland team for the last day, there was huge question marks about the biggest, could this Ireland be expansive, was one of the biggest questions that was been asked. And I know it was Italy and it was a poor Italy. And so how much do you read into that? And those groups haven't been together for months. So it's difficult to draw a huge amount of conclusions from that game of the weekend. But those players that have been mentioned that are out, I know Leroux got cleared today. So that's a bit of a bonus for them. But I hadn't realised there hadn't been a bonus point win there before. So that does put a bit of a spanner in the works and probably puts a bit of manners on us in terms of our expectations. But I think you're saying that we rounded up with a win and it's success. I would agree with that. I'd take that.
Mm-hmm. We'll be down to Keith Wood and Rory O'Connor just after 8 o'clock. Rich?
Shock on the cards in Moscow, by the way. Lokomotiv have just equalised at home to the reigning champions Bayern Munich in Group A of the Champions League. Tyrone star Conor McKenna has confirmed that a member of their panel has tested positive for COVID-19. The news comes 5 days before they're due to play Donegal in an Ulster football quarterfinal in Ballybuffet. McKenna, though, says no other member of the squad has had to isolate as a result.
That's good, because the Offaly situation looked like if that was to be the standard setter whereby every single other player at training was deemed to be a close contact as opposed to a casual contact, which was agreed with the GAA and the HSE, then the championship just couldn't continue. So at least we're not seeing the Offaly situation replicated up in Tyrone. Killian O'Connor, Rich?
Yeah, he expects to be fit for Mayo's trip to Leitrim in the Connacht Senior Football Championship this weekend. The leading scorer in championship history sat out their loss to Tyrone in the National Football League on Sunday. He had a quad issue, but the Ballintubber clubman is set to return to training tonight ahead of their game at Carrick on Shannon this coming Sunday.
Just on kind of medical advice, the physios weren't happy to clear me to play, so that was frustrating, but hoping to train fully this week and get myself back in contention for the championship game, fingers crossed. When you're not 100%, there's guys ready there to step in and do the job instead of you. So you have to just go with the medical advice. And being such a short season as well, so condensed, you can't really risk any injury or you're going to be gone.
Cycling, Rich?
Yeah, there was victory today for Canada's Michael Woods on the seventh stage of the Vuelta a España. Dan Martin finished within the peloton and he remains third on general classification. He's 20 seconds down on the overall race leader, Richard Carapaz. And it's understood there will be no immediate change to the Premier League's pay-per-view policy, but that the situation will be reviewed over the coming weeks. Newcastle owner Mike Ashley has called for the £16.95 to be dropped to below £5 sterling. Any potential change is now likely to come after November's international break. Broadcaster Sky and BT only have their costs covered from the games, with the rest of the money going to the clubs themselves.
People's champion Mike Ashley not being listened to, which is not right. I don't know, did you see Gary Neville, Adrian, last night? He was very good. I only watched it back on Twitter. It's amazing these days, the vast majority of us are consuming all that stuff, not at the time, but afterwards. But Neville talked at length for maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes about the future for football. To boil it down, essentially he was saying there's more than enough money to go round, but we just need everybody to act with a bit of common sense. And the way to do that is to get a football regulator, in effect, who can say yes and no to various ideas.
I think that makes a lot of sense. You'd have a question mark over whether, are Sky or BT or any of these channels entitled to put a premium on the product that they, in terms of rights, effectively own?
How do you mean?
Are they entitled to charge people to pay for the games?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you square that off, and then you move on to the next question is as to whether that's, from a societal point of view in the UK, an acceptable thing or not. And if it's not, Is there not an onus on the government to step in? I don't, like, they're running a business, and so I don't know. I feel that maybe they're.
That's the thing. Their excuse is they're running a business, and they will say that they will only put a price that they figure enough people will pay, and they'll point towards the figures that came through over the weekend, which said I think there was a highest number of around 30,000 watched one match in particular. I think the Mail had the numbers today, but around 30,000 was the highest viewership that they had on one of these pay-per-view matches, and that one or two of them may have skirted around 10,000 or lower. But they haven't been, you know, a massive roaring success, and I don't think they would have anticipated that they would be. But it'll always be the market dictating whether or not there will actually be a buy into these things. And
I would suggest 10,000 could be a success, is the thing. Like, that could be a great day out for them.
But I'd suggest that the blowback from this has been such that I don't think they, if they are going to continue this scheme, they're not necessarily going to do that beyond November at that point, at that price point, because the reaction to it is it just makes them look bad. I mean, and nobody wants to be coated in bad publicity about a service that they're providing, and whether or not they're washing their own face with that money, I don't know. They say they're either covering their costs and not much more, and everything else is going to the clubs. So that's how they'll square it off. But the blowback from it, and the boycott Sky or boycott BT or boycott whomever hashtags that have been doing the rounds, don't look good. The optics of it aren't great. Having somebody on one of their host broadcasters spending 8 minutes saying that the merits of it aren't that great either last night isn't going to do them any great favours either.
Yeah, that was brilliant. I mean, Neville, fair play. If you missed it, he was just saying, it's a nonsense. Get rid of it. It's over. It's like, we're not even discussing that. That's just so obviously not a good idea, the 16 quid a game. So Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Richie, is your next story. He has been talking Donny van de Beek.
Yeah, he has been defending his use, or lack thereof, of their €39 million signing from Ajax, who has yet to start a Premier League game and was an unused substitute in their scoreless draw with Chelsea at the weekend. Dutch legend Marco van Basten has claimed that van de Beek should have gone elsewhere during the summer, but speaking ahead of tomorrow's Champions League game with Leipzig, Solskjaer says it's all part of the process.
I think it says a lot about our depth of quality in the squad that we don't have to use him every single game, because we have other players as well. And I also think it says everything about our ambitions. We want to go push on. We want to go and challenge for trophies this season. Donny is going to play a big, big part this year. And at the moment, I've realized the topic is Donny van de Beek. And it's nice for some players or commentators to have a little go. And I know that you're short for time when you're on telly, and you have to put your points across very quickly. But you have to know that you don't have to start the first three games to be a very important player in a squad. And I would be disappointed if some of my teammates said I wasn't important at Man United. But I didn't start many games. So Donny is going to be very, very important for us. Don't worry about that.
Oh, there we are. Spoken like the super sub himself. That was actually one of Patrice Evra's points with Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank actually on Saturday, was that why did they buy this guy? They just don't need him. Did anyone see the Hasselbank, Patrice Evra?
No, Evra. It was a bit touchy, wasn't it?
Very touchy.
Yeah. It didn't seem like they got on at all, which is good deli.
Yes, I guess it was. Went on a long time. And at one point in the argument, Ever started saying, 9 stitches in my ankle, Jimmy. You remember that? You remember that you did that to me? 9 stitches. And Jimmy's like, what does that have to do with anything? And Ever's like, but did I play on? Yes. Did we win the game? Yes.
But he doesn't hold grudges, Joe. That's
no,
he doesn't hold grudges.
He's let it go.
No, but like Carragher and Neville made the same point last night. They said that Fernandez should be, like, you only necessarily need one frontline number 10 in a side. United now have 3, and they didn't need to buy a third in the summer because they already have Fernandez. They already, you know, for all intents and purposes, have Pogba, and then they bought Van de Beek for God knows what reason. Yeah. So it's like he's a great signing. He's a fantastic player. They just don't need him.
I think Solskjaer was doing perfectly well there until he compared him to himself. Like... Honestly, and I think that, I know people feel very fondly about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but is there not a discussion around him being one of the most unfulfilled careers of all time? I know the role that he played at Manchester United, but he's a super sub, a substitute.
He was signed for 1.5 million quid in 96, I think it was. And he wasn't expected to be anything like a frontline, starter for forever. And then he settled into the role nicely of being super sub. He had chances to move elsewhere. Spurs were regularly sniffing around with him.
Spurs tried to sign him every season.
Yeah,
he shouldn't be saying to one of his own players, "You could be like me," is my point. I think he should be saying, "You're going to start a lot of games here." You know,
you could be sat on your arse earning a fat wedge, just like I did.
Final story, Rich.
The traditional par three contest before the Masters has been cancelled. Tournament organisers say the experience wouldn't have been the same without patrons of Augusta National present. Originally scheduled for April, players will now get to compete for the green jacket in what, just over a fortnight's time.
Well,
Masters in November, Joe, you ready?
That makes it official. 2020 is a bad year. No par three.
Is that the nail? Is that the nail? Jesus, Joe.
It's official. No, that's obviously to be expected. Actually, so I was looking at a photo of Augusta, because obviously it's in November now. And
are the azaleas, Joe? How are the azaleas?
Well, this is, it's just kind of stupidly just presumed it would all look the same, or that Augusta was full of evergreen trees. It is not. You know, the leaves have turned colour. In many cases, they're falling off the trees. It will all look very differently. Although apparently they have, in true Augusta National style, ordered in fake shrubbery leaves and trees to make the whole thing sheen.
They wouldn't stick an old black wheelie bin on the list, would they, and send it my way?
Yeah. Again, 53106, if you're one of the kids who has stolen Adrian Barry's wheelie bin, he wants it back, pronto. Yeah.
Nothing to identify it as mine other than the smell of nappies.
Smell of nappies, okay.
We'll stick leave your nose it in. There. That's Adrian's one, yeah.
Richard McCormick, thank you. Whose kids are going mad in the background?
Mine.
All right, well, we'll let you get right back to it. Adrian Barry, thank you. Richard McCormick, thank you. That is the news round for this evening. Rory O'Connor and Keith Wood on the way after 8 o'clock. But we're talking hurling next.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.